This program is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those wishing to go deeper into classic Christianity with resources available in a connected age. Online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode number 16. Today, we will be discussing memories of the future as found in several old Christmas carols. Welcome to Finding Hidden Treasure, your weekly discussion of resources available for those looking to go deeper into the Christian faith. I'm Walter Hample. Do you have memories of the future? Perhaps that seems to be an odd question. We have memories of events in the past. How can we remember what hasn't happened yet? Even in the simplest sense, we do have memories of the future. Think back to some event in your past to which you really looked forward before the event happened. Perhaps while you were still single, you looked forward to your wedding day. You anticipated what that day would be like and built a picture of it in your imagination. You imagined how that day would unfold, the people who would be there, and the events that would transpire. Today, you can look back at that memory of what you thought that then future day held. Probably, your imagination and the actual events differed to some degree. Memories of the future can be a part of a cultural experience as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 19 through 22, God commanded Moses to write a song and teach it to the Israelites. The lyrics of this song, found in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 through 43, speak of God's faithfulness and the unfaithfulness that future generations of Israelites would inflict upon the Lord. Imagine this song as it was handed down from generation to generation. It was a part of the cultural and religious legacy of old Israel. As time unfolded, this song was sung among the tribes of Israel, looking back to the time of Moses. Yet, within the lyrics was a memory of the future, when Israelites would be acting unfaithfully toward their God. It is one thing for a memory of the future to be fueled by your imagination. It is another when you know about the future because the one who is already there, God Himself, has told you about it in His Word. Today, we will be discussing memories of the future as found in a number of popular and enduring Christmas carols. To do justice to what we will be discussing, it is important to remember the church season known as Advent. Advent is celebrated starting on the fourth Sunday before Christmas, right up until Christmas Eve. The term Advent is taken from the Latin and means arrival or approach. It bears within it the sense of that which is to come, namely the future. When the Christmas carols which we will be discussing were written, an Advent mindset was already built into a number of them. It makes sense that these carols refer to the past, present, and to the future. The carols look back, of course, to the time of Christ's birth and the circumstances surrounding that blessed event. They often speak of the present moment of those singing the carol. Yet, in these old Christmas carols, we have preserved for us, and in singing them every year, what these lyricists thought would be the culmination of their Christmas celebrations, namely, the time at the end of history, when the second coming of Christ would occur. The first carol we'll be looking at is Once in Royal David's City. The lyrics were written by Mrs. C.F. Alexander in the early 19th century. This majestic carol is sung annually at the opening of the Festival of Nine Lessons, held every Christmas Eve at King's College, Cambridge, in England. I'd like to pay attention to the fourth stanza in particular. It reads, "And our eyes at last shall see him, through his own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above. And he leads his children on to the place where he is gone." Mrs. Alexander's vision of the future alludes to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 7, in which we are told that every eye shall see him, that is Christ. There is also the wonderful allusion, from the Gospel of John that Jesus will take his people to be with him where he is. See the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Mrs. Alexander trusted that the birth of that special baby in Bethlehem in the past would bring comfort to God's people one very special day in the future. The second carol we'll be looking at is As With Gladness Men of Old. It was written by William Chatterton Dix in the year 1867. Let's pay particular attention to the fifth stanza. It reads, In the heavenly country bright, need they no created light. Thou its light, its joy, its crown, thou its sun, which goes not down. Therefore, forever may we sing hallelujahs to our King. Like Mrs. Alexander, William Dix also uses a passage from the book of Revelation to give us a view of what our future holds. Dix alludes to Revelation chapter 22, verses 21 through 27. Verses 23 through 24 in particular state, And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In this vision of the future, the Christian's destiny is to be with Christ, who is the light of that new creation, as well as its joy and crown, and to sing praises to him. This vision is one of ongoing worship of this sun which does not go down, namely, Christ Jesus our Lord. The third carol, which we will be looking at, has the most extensive reference to the future. The lyrics to It Came Upon a Midnight Clear were written by Edmund Hamilton Sears in the year 1849. In its fourth stanza we read, For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophets seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when the new heaven and earth shall own the Prince of Peace their King, and the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing. Sears expanded the source of the biblical references used in this stanza. His reference to the prophets takes in not only John, who wrote Revelation, but also made reference to the prophecies of Isaiah. Isaiah, like John, spoke of a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus is identified by the title we find in Isaiah, namely, the Prince of Peace. Sears' vision is that of a sure and certain fulfillment of the prophecies made by the Old Testament prophets of long ago. Lastly, he too sees believers in Christ as ongoing worshipers who will worship in a way which only the angels do today. The fourth carol is also one from the 19th century. The lyrics to O Holy Night were written by Placide Capot de Roquemar in the year 1847. The original French text, composed initially as a simple Christmas poem, was translated into English by John Sullivan Dwight in 1855. There is a limited but clear reference to the future. In the midst of the third stanza we find, Chains he shall break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Roquemar's vision of the future sees an end of human oppression, and that Christ himself will be the reason why that oppression ends. This view of what lies in store for God's people in Christ centers on how Christ will affect human relationships in one particular way, namely, the end of oppression of one person by another. So far, all the carols we have examined were written in the 19th century. The last carol we will look at is Noel, Out of Your Sleep Arise. The author of the lyrics is unknown. They were written in Middle English and were found in the 15th century Selden Carol book. This anonymous author wrote, Now, blessed brother, referring to Jesus, grant us grace at doomsday to see thy face, and in thy court to have a place, that we may sing there, Noel, Noel. This anonymous author's vision of what the end of time holds for God's people involves God-given grace to behold the face of Christ and to have a place with him in his rulership. Like a number of the 19th century lyric writers we've discussed so far, that view of the future involves ongoing worship of Christ. I find it fascinating that in many circles today, Christmas carols like the ones we've been discussing are still sung every Christmas time, even if the singers are not Christian or the setting is not particularly or explicitly Christian. These carols are sung primarily for their value as part of our culture's collection of traditional Christmas music. Yet, like those Israelites we spoke of earlier, who were singing a traditional song of their people, they didn't quite realize the importance and significance of what they were singing. They most likely did not grasp that what they considered music of the past spoke about them and about their future. These Christmas carols give us a snapshot of what the hopes and fears of these lyricists were. Yearly at Christmas time, we are reminded of what their vision of the future in Christ held. For us, we fondly look back at these carols as a part of our warm and cherished Christmas memories. Yet embedded within them are memories of the future, specifically our future in Christ. I will be including links for this episode, including a YouTube performance of the 15th century carol, Noel, Out of Your Sleep Arise. I'd like to conclude this episode with a note of gratitude to the listeners of this podcast. Thanks for your interest and taking time to listen, whether it is directly through the Restoring the Core website, or an MP3 download from the website, or getting the program through the iTunes store. It has been my desire to glorify God with the podcast and to assist those who are looking to go a bit deeper into classical biblical Christianity with topics and resources that I hope have been of interest to you. So, thanks again for listening to Finding Hidden Treasure. I wish you a very blessed and Merry Christmas. And for the listeners in the UK, a blessed and a happy Christmas. Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We are on Facebook at www.facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at @RestoreTheCore. My original blog is still active and can be found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.